It is so great to be together in the house of God. Whether you are right here or if you're in our online community, welcome to New Hope Church right here in Minneapolis. Listen to the word of God from Matthew chapter 27. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone over the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. Are any of you staring today at a tomb? Are any of you staring today at a tomb, freshly carved from fresh wounds, borrowed, underscoring desperation, locked tightly, a show of permanence? A tomb containing something you love, a dream, a job, an education, health, security, a politician, sin, shame, despair. A wife, a daughter, a husband, a son. What tomb are you sitting across from today, looking sullenly, grievously, longingly? These two women were sitting across from the tomb of the sinless Jesus, naked, scourged, crucified, dead, at the hands of arrogant and violent souls. This Jesus, who commanded calm over the chaos, this Jesus, who infused the eternal purposes of his Father into the hearts of his followers. This Jesus, who ushered justice into the broken spaces and broken souls. This Jesus, who embodied shalom. My peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid, he said. This Jesus, who offers forgiveness to the vilest sinners. And there on Golgotha's hill, by that blood-soaked cross on which Jesus had been crucified and killed, stood the haughty religious elite calling out to him. He saved others, but he can't save himself. And the reality is, he wasn't supposed to. The women leave the tomb and recede into the shadows of the weekend. They are reeling. And as the long hours tick away slowly, they are overcome with a sensation that a new normal has descended. Don't you hate that phrase? In the world of COVID, that's almost as bad as pivot and unprecedented. But a new normal, it is. And they have to respond, right? And so it is, as the weekend melts into Sunday morning, these women gather their things to make their way to the tomb, at which place they would seek to embalm the body of their friend. That in itself, a clarion declaration of loss. And so they go to the tomb, guarded, curious, weary and afraid. And as they approach, they experience one more thing. You know, the one more thing. It's just like the now what? One more thing. The one more thing that they discover when they get there to the tomb. Listen to the historian Mark as he describes it. As we heard a bit ago, but it bears repeating. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from us, for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. They were alarmed. Yet one more loss. One more thing. Now what? They go to the tomb to seek the body of Jesus, only to discover instead a perfect stranger awaiting them. And of all the stories that could ever be told, this one about the one more thing. This one about the one more thing directs them not toward that which is good, but that which is incomprehensibly good. Listen to the next line. Verse 6. He said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See where they laid him." And with that, the women discover, wait, what? He's alive. He's alive. He's risen. He's not confined by that tomb at which they had been staring. He's alive. He is risen. Praise the King, he is risen. Praise the King, he is alive. Praise the King, death is defeated. Hallelujah! He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And friends, listen to me. This upends everything. Everything. Now, let's be clear. Life will still have its unbearably hard moments. The night before he would die, Jesus told his disciples. The night before he would die, Jesus told his disciples, "In this world you will have trouble. But the rest of the line, we must take note. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." And friend, mark my word. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest demonstration that Jesus has overcome all that this world has to throw at it. Has to throw at you, has to throw at me, all that we throw at it back. Jesus' resurrection is the greatest testimony that he has overcome the world. And because this is so, sin, death, pain, and the devil no longer have the final word. Do you believe that? Because Jesus is alive, sin, your sin, my sin, their sin, all sin does not have the final word. The Apostle John puts it this way in John, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin." Because of the resurrection, sin does not have the final word. Because of the resurrection, death does not have the final word. We have experienced in our church family much death this year. Loved ones, friends. And it's commonplace in society, of course. And this year it's been all the talk because of the pandemic and so forth. Death, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, will not have, does not have, will never have the final word. It does not have the final say. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, these famous words. He says this, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." Death does not have the final word. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, pain does not have the final word. Your physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, social pain, whatever pain there may be. Because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it does not have the final word. The book of Revelation, chapter 21, offers it this simple way. Verse 4, "God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. This is because Jesus walked out of that tomb alive. The death of Jesus Christ, that's not the end of the story. He rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, sin and death and pain do not have the final word. And because he rose from the dead, the devil and his demons do not have the final word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 finds the Apostle Paul put it forward in this special way. He says, God disarmed the rulers and authorities, which is a Hebrew way of saying the devil and the demons, and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Jesus Christ. Sin, death, pain, and the devil himself do not have the final word because Jesus Christ is alive, because he has risen from the grave, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when he saw it upon completion, he said, "This is very good." It was his design that within this new created order, he and humanity could come together in the sweetest fellowship, rejoicing together, living together in harmony, in shalom, with goodness and joy that knows no bounds. This is the purpose of creation, for mankind and God to enjoy one another together for all eternity. But then came the rebellion, and our first parents, Adam and Eve, raised their fists against the Most High God, declaring that they didn't believe him and they wanted their independence. And with that initial act, they plunged all that had been created into the abyss of sin and shame and damnation and death. And we are participants and propagators of this today. But God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And with his death on a cross, he purchased for you and for me something extraordinary. He purchased for you and for me passage, movement, a transition, if you will, from a place of shame to a place of honor. He purchased for you and me with his death movement from a place of filth to a place of cleanliness. Oh, to be clean. He purchased for you and for me movement from a place of fear to a place of power. And he purchased with his shed blood for you and for me movement, passage, a transition from that spot of deserved condemnation because of our sin to forgiveness forevermore. And then we hear the word of that stranger in the tomb. He has risen. He has risen. He's not here. Because death is not the final word, Sin is not the final word. Pain is not the final word. The devil and his demons is not the final word. Jesus is alive, 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 alive. I ask you, listen to me, please. Listen to me, please. I ask you, what would it look like today for you, wherever you are in the world today, right now, right here on our main campus, and it's so good to see all of you. Or if you're watching from across the globe, and we know a number of you are from the Czech Republic and Azerbaijan and India and Pakistan, and even right here all throughout our region, what would keep you today, I ask you, what would keep you today from standing with Jesus? Help me understand, where do you stand with this resurrected Jesus? Where do you stand with him? Indifferent? Meh. He's okay. It's good for some. Skeptical? Hashtag fake news. Disdain? I don't want to give my authority to someone else. Or, deep longing for something to be made new in life. And I suspect there's a lot more of you that are hungry for that than you're willing to even admit. And so it is, friend. I tell you, as I stand here right now is the moment for you to repent and follow in faith this Jesus Christ who has risen from the dead. Right now is the moment for you to admit with a repentant posture that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. To believe in all of your being that the Father sent Jesus to be your Savior and to offer and secure such great salvation. And to confess this Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. This Jesus who makes all things new. Now's the time. Now's the time, friend. Don't delay. Don't delay. Because the rest of the story is creation, yes. The rebellion, unfortunately. Redemption, for sure. But then this Jesus is coming back. Glorious return. And oh, that we would all be ready. So this is the day to call on the resurrected Jesus. So Father God, in the name of this Jesus, and on behalf of those who are hearing right now and whose hearts have been moved by your Spirit at work, we admit that we are a sinful lot and we need a Savior. And we believe that Jesus Christ is your provision for such salvation. We believe that his death has paid the penalty so we could be free and forgiven. And his resurrection is the proof that sin, death, pain, and even the devil himself no longer have the final word. Their voices have been rendered impotent. And so we confess this Jesus this day as Savior and Lord of our lives. All of God's people, wherever wherever you find yourself right now, agree, saying,